This is Bloody Podcast, a podcast about women's involvement in crime, the occult, mythology, and dark history. Every episode, we examine the life of a notorious feminine figure who shook the world, or the underworld, for better or worse. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Bloody Podcast. I am your host, Maria Felix, along with my co-host, Laurie Roggenkamp.
Hello.
Hello. And we are back with the second part of Amy Carlson, leader of cult Love Has Won.
Yes. Where we left off, we left off at that gentleman who showed up, gave all his money, and then promptly disappeared.
Robert Foley disappeared. And we literally have no other information on him. That's why we stopped.
Yeah.
And don't forget, they were also, 2019 was the year Love Has Won was hot on medium.com.
Yes.
They posting multiple times a day using vague terms like new paradigms and talking about leaving the 3D world behind and awakening to the 5D.
Yes.
The group is still also asking for donations to help mom move back to Colorado and to help Amy's body heal. They claimed that at this point, quote, their words, mom's feet, which are completely broken, need healing. Mom does most of her healing through her feet, and they have suffered extensive damage.
Which, gross.
Gross. I don't want to hear anything about your feet.
I don't care about your feet. Have you heard of, have you seen that couple on TikTok who they cut the bottoms of their shoes so they can walk barefoot, and they're in Ohio in the cold?
I saw like a preview of that somewhere and I was like, is this like a sketch?
So they've it's pretty much like you're just like, it's this like young couple with a kid, and I'm almost positive their family is like oil barons, or they're like meth empire or something, because they have too much money, and they're just these idiot kids, trust fund kids, are just like, we want to rock around barefoot now, like that's our big thing. Were so upset because they got kicked out of the mall,
right?
So they are cutting the bottoms of their shoes, and it's like high end sneakers that they cut the bottoms out.
Yeah, I saw that's what the preview showed, is like tens of shoes with the bottoms cut out. It doesn't make any sense.
No. I don't understand people who are all about feet. Like, I'm like, no, feet are gross. Let's never talk about feet again.
Well, the world is gross. Why would you want to walk around mall and outside anywhere?
In the snow. In the snow and the freezing cold, you're walking around barefoot.
Yeah, I'm getting pretty old lady about things too at this point. I wear house slippers most of the time.
Yes. I have indoor shoes. I have indoor shoes that I wear indoors.
Yeah.
My doctor, I will do walk around barefoot sometimes in my house. And my doctor has been like, you stupid bitch.
Why?
Stop doing that.
Why?
Because I have flat feet. Oh. And I'm supposed to always wear sandals, like, or some kind of like thing with arch support.
Right.
So that my doctor's like, stop fucking walking around barefoot. And I'm just like, it's just pure laziness. It's not because I'm like, I feel connected to something.
It's not for the earth.
No, it's just sheer laziness. And and so, yeah, I have to rock around with like slippers or sandals on or something. So,
well, I really don't think that you would have thrived in the cult. I'm pretty sure they were barefoot most of the time.
I would not. I would have definitely been the person who's like sending out emails going, guys, can we put some socks on at least? Can we?
Feet are, some people's feet in this group really need their own awakening.
Yes.
Guys.
Amy needs to start healing some of these feet. Yeah. You know.
So, by 2020, the group had rented a large cabin in Salida, Colorado, just 1 hour from Crestone. And Amy was one step closer to living back on hallowed ground. But by this time, accusations of abuse inflicted by Amy and Jason are at an all-time high. Families of members begged for their relatives to return to them. And this happened often in the group's live streams, where family members would drop in to watch and catch a glimpse of their estranged loved ones. Skinny and sleep deprived, but alive.
Yeah. That's got to be tough.
It's tough. It must be so hard. Just sitting there for hours trying to catch a glimpse of what making sure your daughter or your son is alive.
Yeah.
Or your mom.
Yeah.
When family members would try to reason with them, with the people on the live streams, or their own, like when the family members would try to reason with their family or with the hosts of the live stream, they would be met with rhetoric and double talk until they left or were blocked.
Oy.
In May of 2020, a Mississippi man named Alex Witten abandoned his wife and young children to become a full-time member of Love Has Won. He had already given the group $20,000 in donations.
That's how much my wedding costs.
Yeah, it's a lot of freaking money.
Oh, man. Maybe I should start a cult just to get money for my wedding.
I mean, it's a better cause than this.
Yeah. Hey, guys. This is Glacial Abernathy. I'm asking for $20,000 for the celestial wedding of myself and Star Castro. So, you know.
Yeah. You had to have a diverse name in there.
Yeah.
So many before Alex had done the same, but the reason the public heard about Alex was because of his narrow escape and his family's dedication to saving him. When he got to the house in Colorado, Alex didn't quite fit in. Uh-oh. As part of his As part of his initiation, like many others, like we talked about last week, he was made to eat at least 10 times the shroom amount that the psilocybin shroom amount that is recommended for a first timer doing a dose.
Oh, so he had never done shrooms before?
No.
Oh,
this guy was
no.
Very straight laced from what I could tell up until point. Yeah.
No.
It was between like 10 and 20. I didn't write exactly what it was down, but it was an insane amount. So he was then, after doing the shrooms, he was then sent to wander the wilderness for 3 days.
What?
On the third day, he was spotted by a local, naked, dehydrated, babbling to himself and staring into the sun, looking for light codes, is what he said.
Ugh.
So Alex's family member, I think his brother, flew to Colorado, found him still babbling outside because I think the neighbor was like, I'm not bringing him inside.
Which is fair. I feel like that's the level of care I have at this point. I'm like, you can sit outside, but I'm not gonna let a sun code babbler into my apartment.
Yeah, here's a blanket.
Yeah.
Just wait out here.
Here's some water.
So the family found him. They brought him home. And they struggled for over a year working with like cult experts to deprogram Alex from the brainwashing the cult had managed to do, not only in that short time that he was there, but in the months leading up to that where he followed them online.
Yeah.
His wife described some of the stacked beliefs Alex slowly had to come to terms with. She said, quote, he still would believe in light codes. He would still believe in Schumann resonances. He still would believe that there's an underground pedophile ring running the country from QAnon.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that they also believed in QAnon.
Yeah. QAnon-y, especially now. And this is 2020 now. So okay. It's really on the rise.
Yeah.
When the family asked the cult members about what happened to Alex, like once they had him back home, Castillo essentially said that he talked too much and they sent him out into the wilderness so that he could, quote, climb out of the darkness. Aurora and Hope, which is Lauren and Ashley, justified it on another live stream by saying that some people have a faster awakening than others and had trouble coping with that. So they basically sent him away because he didn't fit in with the group. They were like, here, take 30 grams of mushrooms and go find yourself in the wilderness. Because we do not like you. You talk too much.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah. That would be, that's my fear, is that I'd be the one that they're like, could you just go do shrooms outside?
Outside. You'll know when to come back. And they're like, he won't know when to come back. He won't.
Yeah, I'll be like, is it now? No, you're not even outside yet.
After they had made some progress rehabilitating Alex, his family refocused their efforts to stop Love Has Won from recruiting other innocent and vulnerable people. They joined forces with Rising Above Love Has Won, the other watchdog group, and spread the word about the cult's predatory tactics. But it wasn't an easy fight. Between 2020 and 2021, it was estimated that there were around 20 to 30 Love Has Won members living together at various mission bases. And on top of that, 50 to 60 contributing members online from around the world.
Wow.
Yeah, so sizable amount.
Yeah.
Enough to definitely like keep feeding her money.
Yeah. Yeah, you forget that a lot of these cult members, this is another weird thing about the cult, is that a lot of the cult members weren't like traveling with the family. They were just online.
Yeah.
Participating. So you would have people, it was almost like a QAnon thing where you would have people who were still living with their family, but was just like, this is a 3D world and I want to be in the 5D world. And you're yeah. like, all right, can I just get carnitas and chicken for my Chipotle bowl?
Yeah, hold on. My phone froze. Let me make sure Mother God's still watching me make your bowl. So by this point in 2020, Amy began having a purplish hue to her skin, which had also grown leathery as a result of her constant drinking, non-eating, and colloidal silver intake.
This was another funny moment in the documentary where, you know, these people have been selling colloidal silver, but they haven't really been ingesting it themselves. They've just been selling it to other people.
Yeah.
Then they start giving it to Amy because she's in so much pain. And then they go on this long thing about how, because somebody mentioned that it turns your skin purple, and they were like, no, it doesn't. There was just one case where this guy didn't mix it correctly. And if you don't mix it correctly, if you don't know what you're doing and you're an idiot, then it'll turn your skin silver, but it really doesn't. And then like literally the next shot is Amy's skin turning purple. And it's just like, oh, that was so funny. It's just like, yeah, no, it doesn't matter what you do. It's going to turn, you ingest silver, it's going to turn your skin purple.
It's also all she's eating at this yeah. point, basically. Like she's probably having this plus like the skin of a hot dog every day.
Yeah. She's like one of those people who like cuts around. She likes the casing, not the meat, you know?
Yeah.
Like she's
yeah.
like, ugh. That's where the nutrients are.
Oh my God. Disgusting. Disgusting. She definitely wasn't eating much. We know from documentation, and I believe the documentary mentions this as well, that the ideal weight that Amy had set for herself and for everybody in the group was 103 pounds.
Yeah, which you think is ridiculous, but then you're like, I remember when I was a teenager and my primary care physician legit told me that my ideal weight, I'm 6 foot.
Yeah, you're tall.
My ideal weight is 150 pounds. That's what I should strive to be.
Okay.
Well, and I was like, I at that time I was like, I don't think that's right.
That's not right. Yeah. I was like, then, I don't feel like that's right.
And then I went and did like several years later, I did like one of those hydrostatic tests where you dunk yourself into water. And I was 170 pounds of muscle. Granted, I was also like 200 pounds of fat, but I was 170 pounds of muscle. So I would have had to lose 20 pounds. I would be dead if I was 150 pounds, basically.
Like, yeah.
There's no way in hell. So you, I bet you there's a doctor out there that's like, yeah, she should be skinnier.
103 pounds sounds about right. Actually,
yeah,
should be 99. Did the doctor ever point at the fucking BMI chart?
Yes,
that they have.
Yeah,
yeah. I fucking hated that chart. I still hate that chart.
It's so, yeah, because remember, like, I don't know if you remember, but there was never like a, it was like morbidly obese and then obese.
Yeah.
And then normal range.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I remember when I had, when I was doing the shake diet and I had lost a bunch of weight, they were like, congratulations, you went from a morbidly obese to obese. And I was like, yay.
This is the worst thing to call that fucking category. Morbidly obese. Oh my God.
You are so ridiculous.
You are a fucking freak. You're so morbid.
Yeah.
Is what they're telling us.
Yeah, basically. It's like, oh, it's like, okay, you're fat, but now you're like not great fat. You
now,
know?
Yeah.
Now it's where we start freaking out.
Now you should be in the freak show.
Yeah.
That's why disgusting.
And then there's yeah, and then after morbidly obese, there's like how the fuck do you get out of your chair obese?
They should put that on the chart. That would make that would motivate me a lot more.
Yeah.
So in mid-2020, amidst the COVID pandemic, Amy, Jason, Lauren, and Ashley, and 10 more followers moved to Kauai, Hawaii. Why? Because Amy said she wanted to go.
Yes.
Amy, yeah. At this point, Amy is wheelchair bound, at least. She's not getting up.
No.
She's got the wheelchair. But still drinking from sunup to sundown.
Yeah, because that's her quote-unquote medicine.
That's her natural medicine from the earth.
Ugh.
Shortly after their arrival, Amy started claiming that she was the Hawaiian goddess of fire and creation, Pele. Which is crazy to me that she like probably went to like a gift shop.
Yes.
Read a postcard about Pele.
Yes.
And then just went home and was like, I'm Pele now. I just learned about this one.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Which is just like, that's just the ego that we're at now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she just thinks that she's all gods. And it's just like, oh, my God. And also, it just shows how she's just so into her bubble that it's like, bitch, it's 2020. You know, like, shit's happening.
Yeah.
You can't be a white woman out here claiming to be a Hawaiian god. You know, like, you can't do that.
Yeah. This ain't fucking Florida where that shit's going to fly. This is Hawaii.
Yeah. This is Hawaii. Yeah.
So when the neighbors found out who they were, why they were there, and what the hell Amy was fucking saying now, they began protesting outside the cult's residence. They even threw stones at the house and their car until the mayor showed up. And I love that the mayor shows up.
Yes.
And tells, he's not like there to tell the people, hey, calm down. It, like, go, you know, disperse. He's there to tell the cult, you guys should go.
That guy, I hope he's mayor. I hope he's a good mayor. It seems like it. And
it
I hope he's
like
mayor. I hope he's mayor for life, because that's the kind of mayor you need where it's just like, yeah, nobody fucking wants you here. Like, we need to get out.
Yeah. It's so great. And he also told them that, like, any other island to try to go to, they're not going to be received.
No. So, yeah.
So just go back to the mainland, please.
And they did. And they and then that's what's smart is then they did. They were like, yeah, let's go. We're going to go.
Well, you know, if there's one thing you're going to learn from, like, moving around so much is you're going to know when you're not wanted somewhere.
Yes. I mean, that's like the best story, because the thing that I love about it is they make such a fucking big deal out of the fact that they need to be in Hawaii because she's going to ascend and she needs to be the force of her ascension is going to put a hole in the ocean. And that's why she needs to be in Hawaii. So that way she doesn't like put a hole in the middle of California or something.
You could, that's what's so annoying about the rhetoric is that you can insert any any nouns into it and just add that mom's going to die if she doesn't get to, you know, the fucking worldwide wonder at Yosemite Park by September 15th. If she doesn't see the endless hole or whatever it's called in Yosemite Park, she's going to die and she's going to be ripped into a million redwood trees. And it's going to be all your fault. It's stupid.
It's so stupid. I just like the idea of like, what happens if they were like, just truly write trash and they're like, mom really needs to go to Atlantic City. Like, she really
if she doesn't spend at least $28,000 at the craps table, she's gonna fucking lose her feet.
Robin Williams is gonna fucking punch her heart if she doesn't bet on black.
Also in 2020, while they're in Hawaii, is when the Dr. Phil episode happens, you know?
Yes.
The mom, Amy's mom, has finally seen her. She's seen how terrible she looks, how awful she absolutely looks. Because she does look like, at this point, like Golem. She's really starting, starting to get to female Golem status.
She does. I would have loved if she would have just been like, my precious.
Yeah.
Worst Golem impression ever. But she, but then also, like, I feel like there's this, like, weird mysticism around Dr. Phil that I've never understood where it's like,
what?
Yeah, it's, like, clear that he does not give a shit about helping people. Like, it's basically like Jerry Springer, you know, like a reserved Jerry Springer. That's what it is. Yeah,
he's just there for the show. Oh, yeah. But are you gonna talk about how like the mom is like, this will save my daughter?
That's the mom was like, this will save. And then even Amy, to an extent, Amy thought, oh, we're gonna go on, we're gonna talk about Love Has Won and everyone's gonna see the, you know, the glory and everything. And she even said, I love Dr. Phil, which is like, why? Like, what about him has made, you know? And
I don't know. I don't understand. I'm not a Dr. Phil fan.
I mean, I'm fascinated with Dr. Phil just because I'm fascinated with the people who go on Dr. Phil. Like, I'm fascinated with the people who are like, I'm going to showcase my life, my family's drama on national television. Like, why? Who, you know? And it's always like...
Money, right? Don't they pay them a little bit? No, I think they only fly them. They only like fly some of them out, right?
They don't really give them that much. I mean, they are a nickel and dime set. I mean, I used to work at a food delivery service where we would deal with like big productions, deliver food.
Yeah.
And they fucking, I remember one time they called and wanted their entire order, so like $1,000 order, refunded because we didn't give them enough napkins.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah. Like they would call and complain about everything. Every single time we placed an order, there was a complaint. And the producers were horrible. Like, everyone was horrible. So, yeah, I'm just fascinated by the drama of the show, but I've never. And I feel like the mom was just kind of like, I don't know. I didn't get what the mom said when they were on the show, because she goes in the show, they go more in depth, but she never once is like, you don't look well. You look like you have kidney disease. You look, why are you taking colloidal silver? You are poisoning yourself. She never once says any of that. She just keeps saying like, what you're doing is wrong and you can't do this and you shouldn't. And it's like, be specific, like say specific things about her health, you know?
Well, but do you think it would have helped for her mom to be like, you are clearly an alcoholic. You look terrible. Like, I feel like once your mom is like, you look terrible, you're like, oh, like, I can't listen to this. You're always criticizing me.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure she wasn't going to listen no matter what, but yeah. But it was just like, it was clear. It was just that part I didn't understand where they were like, they're going to offer Amy help. And it's like, well, first off, she's a cult leader, so they're not going to offer the cult leader help.
No.
You know, nobody's like, let's get, you know, the cult. Let's make sure L. Ron Hubbard's safe. You know, like, they're no.
Yeah. Yeah. They was approached from two different ways because like.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mom's there like, let us help you. And Dr. Phil's like, hey, I heard you abused a cat. Do you really think you're Robin Williams?
And that you abandoned your children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was never going to work, but that's when it happened. And then after that, they're back in Colorado. And then in October of 2020, Lauren and Ashley post a video where they confirm that they won't take Mother to the hospital.
Yes.
They say in this video, Mother wouldn't ever ask to go because, quote, 3D doctors couldn't fathom her. Oh, and they also say that even if Mother were to ask, they would never take her because they would know that she was being hijacked, is the quote they use, is the word they use. Her body was being hijacked to ask for a real doctor.
Yeah.
Given that they believed that Mother God triggered people, which, like, this is their language. Mother God triggers people just by smiling or looking at them. The problems that she was facing inside of her would be unimaginable to 3D doctors, which to me sounds like an insult. Like, what do you mean I trigger you just by smiling at you?
Yes. That's some of the shit that my mom used to do when I was younger, too. She would be like, she would say, like, you were always mean to me, too, when you were a kid. And I was like, how was I mean to you? It's like, your attitude.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. you were an adult. I was a child. So maybe let's take responsibility.
There's no winning with that either.
Yeah.
You can just be like, okay. Sorry
for being
7-year old self.
Yeah. Sorry for being a person.
So there is a theory that the house they obtained in Crestone was a rental first. That's not surprising. But the part that is surprising about this rumor is that a relatively core member, supposedly it could be, I'm not saying it is, Ryan Creamer, had a family member who owned this house first and rented the property out to the cult.
Oh, really?
Yes. So that house that they started staying in that we'll come back to eventually when she dies is first a rental, and then by December 2020, Miguel Lamboy, he's still kicking it, purchased the property at 4 Alcedo Court in Crestone, Colorado for $69,000.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, it's pretty good. They have a bunch of land around it too. I think technically, like, the land together is both house numbers 4 Alcedo Court and 5 Alcedo Court, because it's like two plots of land.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the core group moved into this dusty blue pre-manufactured home in the desolate cul-de-sac just 7 miles from the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. Amy and Love Has Won have finally made it home. By 2021, as Amy got sicker, she appeared less and less in the live streams. Jason, Ashley, and Lauren streamed most of the time and really started to ramp up their anti-Jewish and racist sentiments.
Ooh, I didn't get that at all.
Oh, yeah, they would not. They didn't mention this.
They talked about it a little bit in the Dr. Phil thing.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah,
I didn't see that at all in the documentary.
Yeah, every live stream would have a bunch of it. And most of those are taken down now. But there is a compilation posted by Rising Above, Love Has Won, that shows Jason saying the N-word repeatedly.
Ooh, comparing, of course. He would be the one to say the N-word. Yeah.
He's definitely the one. And, like, it's so gross and annoying. He's center, and Ashley and Lauren are at his sides, like, below him. Like, he's, like, elevated on the chair, and they're, like, below him. And they're just, like, laughing while he's saying these things and comparing minorities to cockroaches.
Ugh.
And Ashley, in other streams, makes statements like, quote, because of the programming that they instilled in Black people that makes them out of control.
Yeah.
End quote, which is insane. She also discredits the story of George Floyd and claims that concentration camps and the Holocaust were more like training centers and featured and even featured movie theaters.
Oh my God.
They're fucking terrible.
That is the worst. Yeah, I love these people that are like, that just want to totally be like, it wasn't, you know, people liked it. What?
People, it wasn't that bad. It's insane. It's insane. Okay. Even Amy, when she did appear, spewed hateful messages claiming that Jewish people were hurting her existence.
Oh my God.
So they're really just off the rails right now. And this is with having people of all races and stuff, like, and all creeds subscribe to their cult. They had people in Mexico. They had Black, Jewish, Asian, and Latino members.
Yeah, that one guy that was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That one guy that was there. One, they allowed one minority into the house. Them's the breaks.
Yeah, and now he's roommates with the older lady. So
the Buddha guy?
Yeah.
He's roommates with with one of the people in the documentary?
Yeah, the old lady that came, that she was like in her 60s when she joined.
Oh.
They're roommates.
Oh, I knew that he was still like in it, but I didn't know that he was roommates with.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they're happy. I don't think they are. I'm not sure.
Now I'm starting to think that maybe they're not. Maybe this is maybe I should backtrack on what I said in the first part, which is that, you know, everyone's flourishing.
Yeah, no, they're not.
But
in the internet sense, I guess they are, because they're like, you know, still posting every day and crap. So maybe that way.
That trope is so annoying. I just like, can we just like, I would just love it if there was like, if we could just stop picking on different people with different cultural backgrounds and making them enemies for no apparent reason. That would be great if we could just stop doing.
End racism?
I would love it if we could end
racism. I would love that too. Guys, let's really make an effort. If for anything, for Lori, because she really she really wants this year, you guys.
Can we please? or donate to my wedding. One or the other. It doesn't have to, I don't know. We'll see.
We're calling it Madonna Has Won, because they're getting married at the Madonna Inn.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where, and racism will end when we get married. So that'll be great. That's my wedding gift to Star.
Yes. So on April 16th, a live stream from Love Has Won members on stated that Carlson was, quote, very, very close to dying, and that she's slowly, slowly going out of her vessel. Then on April 21st, in another live stream, members claimed Carlson was, quote, in stasis and refusing medical care. So it's interesting that they document themselves saying that she's refusing medical care.
Yeah. They go back and forth on that, though. I feel like they, you know, they did do that live where they said that they wouldn't take her to the hospital, but then they backtrack soon after she dies, because I think that's when they were like being charged with stuff, where they were like, oh, if she had told us she wanted to go to the hospital, we would have taken her. We would have sucked it up and taken her.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, no,
no, I think you all know that that's not going to work for this.
Yeah.
This whole scam. And she needs to die in order for you guys to get even more money.
But I mean, like, just how crazy it must be for her, where in my mind, and this I could be totally wrong, but in my mind, where she, I'm not necessarily saying that she's starting to realize what's happening is bullshit, but she's starting to get that fear that I think every human has when they're like, when things are about, are going badly, when you're about, you know, you're about to die. And she's like, I think I need to go to the hospital. And they're like, no, no, we're not taking you. And it's just like, oh, fuck. Like, what have I done?
Yeah. I think, honestly, I think by 2020, sometime in 2020, she realized, like, I'm going to die here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to get away. Like, I lose everything. Yeah. She would be like, she would think like she would lose everything if she tried to go to a hospital. And she wouldn't have her followers anymore. So she had no choice. I feel like she decided, I have no choice but to die here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think she bought into the bullshit still to the very end. But it's just sad that she, couldn't get the help that she needed and refused to, really. So,
but I wonder how many members were like savvy enough to be like, oh yeah, she needs to die, because if she dies, then we can just claim that she ascended and then she becomes immortal in that sense. Like I know in my heart of hearts that Michael knew that.
Yes.
He's the one with all the money. He's the one controlling all the funds coming in. And he's like, this bitch needs to go and she's going to kill herself and I'm just going to let her do it.
Yeah. Like, I have a feeling probably Jason.
Jason for sure.
Abigail.
Abigail. Obviously Lauren and Ashley, who are like, they were so excited for this bitch to go.
They drove to, I mean, imagine this fucking shit. So they split off in the documentary series. They split off. They're living in separate areas, right? So she doesn't have everyone around her. These two bitches get in their car, drive overnight across state, like five different states or whatever, yes, to get to her compound to have a face-to-face meeting with her to tell her that she needs to die.
Yes. Yes.
They're like, look into my eyes. Look into my eyes. You need to die.
Yeah, and it's so weird the way they kept moving her around too. Like,
yes.
First she starts like really feeling it back in Doonesmore, California, near Mount Shasta, right? And then like Jason's with her at that point. She's suffering really bad. And so what, they decided to take her to like a hotel in Portland or near Portland in Oregon, where the staff
is worried.
The staff is uncomfortable.
They have to hide her dead body from the staff. Like, they have to be like, no person here. Sorry, no house cleaning.
And the crazy part is, too, can you imagine the staff watching her get rolled in the first place? She's like a blue-gray, tiny little alien being.
Yes.
And for some reason, they have this huge wheelchair that almost doesn't fit down the hallway.
Yeah.
Like, covered in blankets and furs, like Amazon furs.
Yeah.
And it's just this tiny little alien creature in it. And she looks all sickly. Like, if I were the staff member, at first I would be like, these people found a UFO crash. And now they're harboring the alien here.
They're Weekends at Bernie's, the alien.
The staff send people to go check on her after like a day or two of like,
oh my god,
probably staff funny. Being like, I think she's dead. I think she's dead in there.
That's for sure a dead woman, right?
Yeah. But there's still people. There's still people in there. There's like a man and two females. Do you think they're doing stuff?
Oh, for sure.
Yes. Ew.
They're just, all I hear is just testicles flapping against butts and then randomly people screaming about how Jewish people are ruining the world.
Oh my god. You go, you knock.
What?
Yes. It's your turn.
Hello, housekeeping.
Run.
Oh, they're opening the door. I can't see this. I'm not ready. I'm only 27.
So she dies, presumably, it's vague, right? It remains vague where she dies.
Yeah.
It seems like she dies in the hotel room. She might have died out in the fucking forest because they also took her body camping at some point.
I gotta be honest with you. Like, that I feel bad for Amy a little bit because it's like, she's just like, let me rest. Let my body rest. And they're like, we're going to take you camping.
We're going to go camping now. We're going to put you as one with nature.
Oh my God. They dragged her. Oh wait, this was in Hawaii when they carried her to the beach.
Yeah.
And she was cheering on the beach, the waves. Remember when she was like clapping?
Yeah.
At the waves.
Yeah. Her legs are just like laying there.
Yeah. They're just like dead sticks. And she's just like, woo.
And she always had a little cup. In all the video footage we see, she has a small cup. And it's like, just get a big cup. You're being insufferable with your tiny little cup of
alcohol. She's definitely the type of person who carried like four different cups around her at all times.
Yeah.
And it was just like, this is for my tea. This is for that has alcohol in it. This is for my orange juice that has alcohol in it. This is for my water that has alcohol in it. And this is for my alcohol that has alcohol in it.
Has a juice in it. Okay. So on April 27th. So that's her death. That's how we're covering her death. She died. Her body just gave out. She died somewhere between California, Portland, and a fucking forest.
Yeah.
The cult members have never really confirmed where she died, but it's definitely on the West Coast. So congratulations, West Coast.
Yeah. And can you imagine what her skin must have, like, she was like, she had the leathery skin of somebody who smoked all the time. And then she also had like this weird dewiness because they kept moving her from the shower to the hot tub. Ugh. Like constantly. So she'd be in the hot tub and then the shower and then the hot tub. And then, you know, and then she's also taking colloidal silver. So it's all like, you know, it's destroying her skin and her. I just was like, oh my God.
Beyond that, I wonder about the stinkiness.
Oh, always the smell. I think that would be the main. That's not the main reason, but that's a big reason why I'm not a hippie is the smells.
The smells. Yeah. They're everywhere they went. Was just damp.
Yes.
They made it damp and like.
Just like feet and ass. Like damp feet and human feet and ass. Like, and that's all it is. Yeah.
And that meth sweat from Castillo. Yeah. Disgusting.
Where it's like a little metallic. Yeah.
Ugh. Disgusting.
Oh, that's the grossest. Yeah. And they were always in like, they always had to be in the same space. Like they were never like. You never saw everybody like spread out. They were always like in Amy's room or something. Yeah. And I was just like, oof. Yeah. The smell in that room.
I don't know. It's not so good.
No.
So on April 27th, Miguel, who is still back in Crestone at the Crestone house, lives there with his 2-year-old son and 3 other female cult members at the time, supposedly. Karen, Sarah, Crystal, and Crystal's 13-year-old daughter. And there seems to be another guy, Chris, who is in and out. At least that's what Michael claimed. Those are the people that Michael claimed lived there at the time when he went to the police about Amy's death. So on the evening of the 27th, after Michael arrived home from a day of errands, he was greeted by 4 members from California: Jason Castillo, John Robertson, Ryan Kramer, and a woman known only as Abdulia. Mm-hmm. The group had traveled cross country in 2 cars and planned to stay at the house. They told Michael, and this is all Michael's words, that others would be arriving from Canada to a sort of gathering. Michael claims that he was surprised by the visitors, and although usually Mother God would be with them, he didn't bother to ask where she was. And no one brought her up that first night. So their leader that's always with them, no one was like, you guys seen Mom? Yeah.
I really like what you've done with the place. Have you done some renovations? Where's Mom? Wow, is that a new ceiling?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did that myself a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Well, I hired some labor, but.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, you got it. Anyway, you want You want to do some drugs?
Exactly how it happened. Yeah. Exactly how. Yeah.
Later that night.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
It's great. It's that Michael saying this is nonsense. So later that night, Michael goes to bed. He wakes up early the next morning to run a bunch of errands. He's very busy.
Of course.
And he says that, as per usual, he left his son in the care of the other women in the house that he was used to leaving them with. He noted that Karen said, this is what he tells the police. He said, I didn't notice anything weird, but I did note that Karen said that she had been up all night, unable to sleep. But I didn't push the issue. I didn't ask. I had to go.
Because, you know, women be complaining.
So that day, he says he drove all around Colorado buying home renovation supplies that he needed for the house and to check out some potential rentals that he could move to with his son, because he was already feeling that he needed to get out of the Alcedo house. He needed to get away from the group of people that he was with. Around 4 p.m., Ryan, a.k.a. El Mariah, texts him and asks him to bring flowers home for mother. Michael stops to pick up the flowers and has in his head, he's just like, oh, well, Amy has finally joined us, or Mother God has finally joined us. Fantastic. I'll get her flowers. When he gets home, Jason meets him outside and says he wants to talk to him about, quote, the funds, and demands that Michael turn over his laptop to him. Amy often told her followers that she planned to eventually open what she called the Crystal Schools, which we've talked about in part one. Yeah,
Crystal Schools for Children.
Yeah, Crystal Schools for Children and not for adults. And so at that time, Michael on his laptop had information and had all the information and... I don't know what you call them, money files? That doesn't sound right. Michael on his laptop had all the information that would account for an approximate $300,000 that the cult had control of, that essentially Michael had control of. A few other members of the group kept pummeling him with questions as soon as they saw him, is what Michael says. And all of them had one thing on their mind, the money. Once he was fully inside, though, he was directed to go into the back bedroom. He says that when he went in there is the first time that he saw a figure wrapped in a blanket. And when he got closer, he could see gray, mummified skin, a face with no eyes in the sockets and teeth exposed.
Oof.
The members stood in the doorway, the other members, and ordered him to hug her and to touch her. It's unclear if he did. He probably did. But after that, Jason started going on another rant about money and how Mother God had ascended. So Michael freaked out, grabbed his laptop and his phone, tried to grab his son, but was denied access by the other people in the house.
I love that his first thought was, I got to get my laptop, my phone, and then I'll see about my son. I'll double check on him. But first, laptop, phone. Those are the most important.
So they refuse him access to the kid. And he's like, all right, he takes off. And he drives to his car over to the Salida, Colorado police station. Now, the one mysterious thing here, not one, but one of the many mysterious things here is that Michael drives over to the farther away police station instead of the one that he knows he's supposed to go to, because when he gets to the second police station, he mentions to the police officers that he didn't want to go to the other one because he believed that they were corrupt people.
Okay.
It's not that weird, except it is, because in the at the other house that they had, the one before the Crestone one, the police had been called on them numerous times, and the police can never really do much about the cult there.
Yeah.
But then it becomes a whole cop thing that we really don't have time to get into. But it is interesting in a sense that I think also, okay, I will mention this, and I'll try not to go off on a huge tangent. But around, I think it's in 2016, there's a murder of a girl, or a girl disappears, a woman disappears in Crestone. And subsequently, a podcast was made about it called Up and Vanished. And in that podcast, they interview people who were surrounding the case, basically. And one of the people that calls in and talks to the investigators about this girl appears to be in the presence of Amy. So probably in the house, in the cult house, because you can hear Amy in the background. And she says something like, I still don't know who that girl is, so a lot of people have tried to build a theory.
Yeah.
Around this girl, because this girl was partying with the same type of people that Amy and the other people in that commune were partying with. But to be fair, there's just a lot of people who party and do drugs in and around Crestone. Like, that's what they do. So a lot of people have tried to build a theory that maybe Amy knew this girl and that somebody in the cult was connected to the murder and disappearance of this woman.
Got it.
I don't really think so. And then there was also said that the police didn't fully investigate this. So the police were paid off, because there's a big theory that human trafficking happens often in and around the area of Crestone.
Oh, okay.
And that the police are paid off to cover it up. Who knows if that's true? Because you can either make that sound pretty logical, or you can make it sound pretty QAnon-y.
Yeah. Yeah, without evidence or concrete evidence, it does come off a little QAnon-y, but, you know.
But it might be why Michael went to one police station, not the other. But it doesn't matter, because the police that he goes to, they take his report, they take his statement, and then they send one of the other, like, the appropriate police officers for that jurisdiction out to the house. Michael first showed up to the Salida station at about 8:30 p.m. and he was there for about 3.5 hours before the police are like, oh, yeah. Like, we know who you're talking about. You guys are talking. You're talking about the fucking cult out in Crestone. The Love Has One group. Like, we know.
I love that. I love that they're like, yeah, no, we got it. We don't have to say anymore. We understand.
Yeah, we understand. They admit, I think, on camera that they've gotten numerous reports about people from all over the country saying that my family member is stuck there, is brainwashed, but there's like nothing they can do about it. But they're aware. They're aware of the issue.
Yeah.
During his interview, Michael also makes it a point to say he had been trying to distance himself, as we see when he's like, I was trying to find a place to rent. He was trying to distance himself from the group and had gotten into home renovations lately. And he really, really keeps repeating the thing about renovating the house. He's like, I've been working on the house. I was out buying supplies for the house. I've really been working really, really hard on restoring the house.
Super. I don't know why, but this gave me real Tom Sandoval vibes from Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
Where he's like, I'm the one who buys all the paper towels for the house.
We have batteries because of me.
We have batteries and pens because of me. Like, all right, bro.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what Michael's trying to gain here, but he wants you to know. He also says that he knew that Amy had cancer, but didn't know that she had died, and which is total bullshit. I mean, he's talking to her and these people every day.
I feel like in this moment, we just see that he's just doing CYA, you know, like he's cover your own ass. Like this is the moment where, cause you know, there's like people in this story who I feel like aren't like true believers. And I feel like even though Miguel or Michael claims to be one of them, I feel like I think he's more on the side of like, I'm a believer in as far as it benefits me. And it's like, as soon as he saw that body, he was like, oh, this doesn't benefit me anymore.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I'm out. So
I feel like Miguel is definitely that. Whenever I think of him, I think of that quote from The Office with Creed is like, oh, yeah, I was in a cult. You have more fun as a follower, but you make more money as a leader. Like, it's all I think about because this guy is just in it for the cash.
Yes, for sure.
So around midnight, the sheriff's department raided the house. Body cam footage is available of that night. And when officers enter the house, there's a few people busying themselves with unraveling Christmas lights, which is like maddening. It's like fucking find a job.
Yes.
You're unraveling Christmas lights that probably don't even belong to you or work.
Yeah. Oh, man. Or vacuum, you know?
Just it's like, do something.
I doubt that we need to have Christmas lights unraveled. You know?
It's April.
But that's like my dad used to do that where it's like we'd have family coming over and he'd be like, I gotta go outside and water down the patio. He'd be like, all right, it's January. No one's going outside. We need you to assist in the house.
No. I'll be outside.
your mom's got it covered in here.
Yeah. Yes. Like, okay. Yes. Okay. I'll see you in a couple hours.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when dinner is ready.
And then we'd always be like, oh, I'm so glad you watered down the patio. We really benefited from that as it's pouring down rain.
So as we saw in the documentary, if you watched it, they show the body cam footage in the documentary, don't they?
Yeah. Okay. In the beginning of the docuseries, they show it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you see Jason greeting them and being like, mother has rested. Which is just...
So stupid.
Even the officer is like, okay. And just like walks more into the house. They get to the back of the house. They get to the bedroom. The room is insane. It's decorated in colorful Christmas lights. And a lot of signs. A lot of like words on the walls.
Poorly painted trees.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Amy's body is covered in Christmas lights as well. And when you get closer, you can see the extreme amount of decomposition that has already happened. And the members have painted her eyelids with glitter.
Oh, my God.
It's so gross, dude. The cult claimed that Amy died the same night the deputies found her body. And they really, I guess they didn't say die, of course. They said ascended. Because they claimed that Amy's body was just a vessel.
Which it's funny that they say that because like they go so back and forth with this thing where they're saying that, you know, she died or she ascended. Like it's like it's one or the other. But I think it's just they just don't. They're just such idiots and they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, they didn't just like, stick to one story for it.
Yeah.
They were like, she died. No, she ascended, but she died. No, but she...
But she's out there.
She's, yeah. I love that they also said that she ascended into a starship.
Yes.
It's so juvenile.
And also that there were some people who were like, I mean, I guess I just thought that she would... a starship would show up and she would leave with her body. I don't know how she's going to get around without her body. And it's like, oh, I guess that's... I guess that's your Roman Empire then. I don't know what
their entire language is made up of emojis.
Yes, exactly.
Shooting star, starship, crystal ball, food. What, little hamburger.
Yeah, little hamburger.
Father God, Jason Castillo. Along with members Ryan Kramer, John Robertson, Karen Raymond, Christopher Royer, Sarah Rudolph, and Abdulia. Oh, here's their last name. I guess I did write it down. Abdulia Franco Gonzalez.
Ooh.
Were initially charged with misdemeanor with child abuse and as two minors were inside the home. Those charges later included tampering with a corpse. But it really doesn't matter because as we all know, all the charges against all the members present in the house were dropped during the course of the investigation. They just got off.
Yep.
Amy's mom, Linda Haythorne, said she believed that her daughter was murdered. The coroner said that there were no indications of foul play or cancer, which is what Amy and her followers claimed she had the whole time, that she was always suffering from cancer.
Which is so weird that she cures Miguel's cancer, but she can't cure her own cancer.
Yeah. I mean, they can't get it straight, because they're saying that she takes on all the pain and like cancers of the world, but she can't cure one. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. So despite how Linda feels, the DA doesn't think that there was enough of a case to pursue without reasonable doubt. So that's kind of where, sadly, Linda's justice with this kind of just comes to a stop, because she loses her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, well, she essentially killed herself via anorexia, alcoholism, and colloidal silver ingestion. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's part of me that sort of has this attitude of that I feel like she could have done more to save Amy, but because like there were moments where she's like, why didn't you go to her? Why didn't you go to the compound when she was clearly dying? And she's like, well, I was just afraid and I didn't want to go. And I feel like if that was my kid, I would have driven up there and, you know, demanded to see her. But at the same time, it's like, it's also your adult child who's got a cult full of criminals.
Exactly.
On drugs.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. So. And you still have, there still has to be somebody to take care of her children.
Yeah.
That she left behind.
Yeah.
So once they're released from prison, or from jail, I should say, because they were barely held, and the Love Has One group begins to make all these national headlines because of this crazy story about Amy. All the members kind of disband, but they start making their own little offshoots from Love Has One. Jason Castillo started a group called Love Has One, the number one. So Love Has the number one.
Jesus Christ.
Joy reigns, like joy reigns upon you.
It's like an improv team name. Like it's like
the number two.
Yeah. It's like all the worst people who would come up with stupid improv team names, they all joined a cult and now are trying to come up with cult names.
It's so stupid. It's called Ass Dog. What do you think?
with the fives are S's.
Yeah. After Amy died, Jason hopped around and ended up in Wisconsin, where he was arrested for a DUI in September of 2021.
Oh, okay.
But instead of facing the charge, he fled and hid out in Mexico until August of 2023. He returned to Wisconsin last year and was sent to jail upon his return. But this whole time, he has like a live stream still almost every night or every few nights. Because
oh my God.
I feel like wherever he was in Mexico, he didn't always have as consistent internet access. And he doesn't feel like the techie one of the group.
No.
So he still had a live stream all the time. He even calls into the live stream because he's got this other girl with him named Luna, who is like his partner and like is preaching when he's not on the live stream. So he calls Luna while in prison and talks for like 15 minutes on the live stream via the prison phone. It's so boring and so stupid, but it's still up. You can go watch it. Last year, when there was more stuff to find, I watched a video on his channel where he is ordaining a marriage between two really drugged out people. It's like a girl and a guy. They're zombified. They look so fucking high.
Oh, great.
Off heroin. You can see that they're not anywhere special. They're in a room. one of those fucking gross, weird rooms where like half of it is painted beige and the bottom half is painted green and everything's
gross. Okay.
Yeah. There's a table.
I feel about those colors the way I feel about feet. No.
It's just the worst place in the world. It's a little hellhole. There's a table in front of them, like covered in soda bottles and cut off, like cut straws, short straws.
Uh-huh.
And you can see there's like a little tray with drugs on there. There's some kind of white powder on there. And he marries them. It's really sad and gross. And then other videos. What'd you say?
I said, oh my God. This sounds like some weddings I went to when I was younger from random people.
In between Temecula and San Diego?
Yes.
Yeah. The rest of his videos are mostly him singing and trying to play guitar, whereas he just strums the guitar and he goes, hello, children. And then he starts singing some terrible song every time.
He's not a good singer and he's terrible at the guitar and he never learns. He just plays. He just thinks that he can play the guitar.
Yes. Yes. It's insane.
It's so crazy.
It is. It's and it's so infuriating and boring to watch. Like, I really don't know. I kind of wish that he understood that, like, hey, without Amy, dude, like, you are not the one to watch. You are not Star. Yeah. And I think he kind of understands that because his website for Love Has the number one, Joy Reigns the number two. It's covered in pictures of him and Amy. And all of the video thumbnails are a picture of Amy or a picture of him with Amy. Even the ones that are hosted by this Luna woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so my God.
He's still using Amy's image to promote his own cult.
I kind of feel bad for this Luna now that she has to like live in the shadow of Amy.
Yeah, he's always trying to replace Mother God. So there's been like over the last couple of years, he tried to like instate other girls as Mother God, but then he'd get all like methed out and mad at them or something. Yeah. Who knows what the hell would happen in their toxic relationship. And then they would be gone in a couple of weeks. And this Luna girl has been the one to stick around the longest.
Mm.
And it's too bad. The last we know about Jason is he entered a no contest plea and received 2 years probation for his DUI charge in November of 2023.
Ooh.
And he's other than that, he's still kicking it, getting high off meth and running Joy Reigns number two or whatever.
Yeah. In the docuseries, it said that him and that I think Ryan, the one who's the, father of the multiverse,
mm-hmm.
that they are doing stuff together now.
So. Yeah. It's interesting. I think when they filmed that, those two were still kicking it. I don't know if they necessarily are anymore. We'll get to Ryan.
Okay.
Lauren Sanchez and Ashley Peluso, Hope and Faith, right? Is that their names? Archaea Hope and Archaea Faith?
Yeah, I think so.
I only call them Lauren and Ashley because their made up names are stupid.
Yes. Oh, can we talk about for a second the girl who burned that house down?
Oh my God, we totally forgot to talk about the girl who burned the house down in Shasta and Dunesmore, California, right?
Yeah. I totally forgot to mention that. I realized when we ended, I was like, oh, I meant to mention. First off, she was the one who didn't want to give her name at the start. And I was like, why does she want to give her name? And then I realized later, oh, it's because she was the fucking idiot who burned the house down.
She's the crazy little pyromaniac.
Oh, my God.
She is the most nuts, the most outwardly like, and nuts is a mean word to use, insensitive, because she is clearly the most lost, I would say. Because even now she's like, oh, mom, just, you know, said, I know you did it, you stupid bitch. Ah. Yeah. Like, she's like so, she's so fucking deer in the headlights wherever she goes. This woman is clearly, she needs help.
I'm going to say something that is maybe not nice, but the end of the documentary says that she's back spent being with her kids. And I was like, I don't know if that's a good thing. For those kids.
God, I hope.
To have that woman in their life again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's the last we're going to hear of her.
No, no. She's going to.
Yeah.
She's going to do one of those. She's going to be one of those people who like crashes a White House dinner or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
We will cover her specifically on this podcast one day.
For sure. Yes.
Sorry we didn't talk about her, guys. We should. Maybe we should just like go on a deep dive about her.
Yes.
So Lauren and Ashley became the new spokeswomen for the newly named 5D Full Disclosure Group and are probably the most on display members left. In September of 2021, they started a podcast with a cute little cartoon graphic of them. And they still go by Hope and Aurora. Aurora, not Faith. That's what it is. They're still, to this day, posting videos almost daily. Mixing their usual rhetoric about different dimensions, self-love, QAnon, far-right theories, and anything else that they've deemed necessary as part of their journey to enlightenment. Their website, 5dfulldisclosure.org, also still features a page dedicated to Amy as Mother God. And worst of all, they are still selling their home remedies like colloidal silver and liquid gold and claim they are useful aids in healing from cancer and all other ailments. Even though in February of 2022, the Federal Drug Administration published a non-compliance letter that they sent to Lauren and Ashley, citing their products as unapproved and potentially dangerous to humans and animals.
I just like the idea that you have to send it to individual people, not a corporation. Like, hey, Mark, stop selling the fucking like medicine that you're pushing, dude.
To be fair, and this is actually part of the story, they did send, it's like attention Lauren Sanchez and Ashley Peluso, but the organization it's listed for is the Sacred Spirit Apothecary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it does say their names in the letter, like, as the attention too.
Yeah. Specifically Lauren and please <stop it.
laughs> Lauren and Ashley.
You dumb white bitches.
What's interesting, let me make sure I don't put this later. Oh, yeah, I do. Okay. I'll say it now, though. What's interesting about that, by the way, is that Michael, who had ratted out the group in the first place and then dipped, that letter that was sent to Sacred Spirit Apothecary was addressed to the Alcedo Courthouse, which means that Lauren and Ashley probably remained there, or if not, used that address as their business address, which was still under the ownership of Michael.
That's weird.
Yeah. And we could tell that because the house hasn't been sold since Miguel bought it for $69,000. So we know it's still his.
Yeah.
The Watchdog Group theorized that Miguel was one of the masterminds of the scam in the first place, which we know.
Yeah.
And was nowhere near defecting from the group when Amy died. In my opinion, the fact that Lauren and Ashley still ran the business from the Alcedo Courthouse until at least 2023, last year, is a strong indicator that at least some of the cult members are still in contact with Michael, even though in the documentary, they keep saying he disappeared with the $300,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's suspicious.
It is suspicious.
Yeah, how could he be gone if he's still... Yeah, that's weird.
I think that he definitely stopped talking to Jason and Ryan and stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Because they became a different offshoot than Ashley and Lauren. I think he kept talking to Ashley and Lauren because he sees them as the new, basically the new mother gods, the new Amys who can still control people.
Yeah.
And they still needed a place to stay.
Yeah.
And he has at least, it sounds like he has at least two properties in Colorado. Especially because Lauren and Ashley have gone way past Amy's live streams and YouTube videos. They've taken cues from other new age gurus. And like I said, they've made a podcast. They require a paid subscription to their daily videos, and they brand everything that they do with attractive, shiny Canva templates and bubbly logos. They've tapped into a certain aesthetic that appeals to the same people who are enchanted by that, you know, the cutesy stuff about crystals and aura readings and all those things that you see on Instagram. Their messages remain veiled, hateful, dangerous theories that mirror those of QAnon and other domestic terrorist groups. In my opinion, it makes them more dangerous than Amy ever was, especially because they've had a hand in essentially killing her.
Yeah. That's shady. Yeah. That brings some new questions to light. Like, yeah.
As for Ryan Creamer, it's kind of hard to tell where he is. He was the original creator of the Love Has Won discussion group on Telegram.
Okay.
After Amy died, and that account has over 47,000 followers right now. So I don't know if he's still running it, because now it's really overrun with people all over the world and mostly the States and Canada talking the same rhetoric about indigo children and mixing it with theories about pedophile rings and Zionist anti-Semite talk.
Yeah.
So it's all super confusing. Ryan seems to be one of the people flying under the radar. The Buddha guy can be found still, like you said, living, being a roommate with that other lady. And he's still like active online. He's still very much into the new age stuff. All of these people are still buying into it for the most part. Like we talked about in part one, it seems like Abigail is one of the few who was like, "Up, I'm out."
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of an unsatisfying end in that sense, because it's like these people are still up to no good, still hurting other people, and Amy just dies. And now they just went out and found a new leader.
I think it just means that this story is not over. I mean, we're still gonna have more information, you know, as time goes on. I mean, that gentleman that just disappeared, I mean, I think that's eventually going to come to light, you know, and then we're going to have another documentary. So, yeah, I think we're just going to see a lot. So I guess they're not thriving like I thought. you know, it is interesting.
It is interesting. And that is why I think, obviously, we're also fascinated with this case. There are, I feel like, a few people who praise this whole thing so much. And I hope that these last two episodes give insight into the fact that it wasn't all just fun and games and shrooms.
Yes.
There was a lot of darkness.
And I think the issue is like, look, I very much don't believe in that stuff, but I also think that if you believe in it, that's your prerogative, you know? So if you want to take shrooms and fucking, you know, like live in the 5D world, that's your jam. Like if that's your jam, that's your jam. As long as you're a functioning member of society who's not, you know, being mean to anyone, go for it.
But that's the issue.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways, because there are very few people in the world who can be like, let me just spend all my time getting high and doing drugs and can afford to just do that all the time. So you need to be getting money from somewhere. And in order to get money without working, you're going to have to scam somebody out of money.
Yeah, you're going to have to do something illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of my point, is that, like, you know,
you just can't
do anything illegal.
How long, think about, and this is for everybody, think about your bank account right now. And how many months could you do in some shitty fucking podunk house in Colorado where you have to give money to your group weekly and you have to stay high and stay drunk? How many months could you do it for? If weeks.
Negative months. I could not. I could not do it at all.
Like, you're having to give money for your food. You've probably got to give to a collective drug bowl.
Yes,
like a drug yeah. jar of like, here, we need $50 from you for this week's fucking psilocybin.
Well, it's also like people who I feel like are, I mean, we at least know of Amy, right? Is an addict. And so to feed that kind of mentality, it takes a lot of energy and money, and, you know. And so if you have and probably Jason's an addict, you know, if you have a lot of addicts in one space, I mean, that is a lot of desperation for their fix. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
I like how you said probably Jason's an addict when he's the one on meth the whole time.
That's why I said he's probably an addict.
Probably.
Yeah.
He could just be doing it for recreational purposes.
He did say that he quit for when he found her. He said that he quit, but I mean,
I doubt it. I really,
I don't, I'm just going to go on a limb and say that that did not happen.
No,
he did not quit.
Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Bloody Podcast. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.